This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our walk through Genesis in chapters 40 and 41, picking up with interpretations belong to God, the baker's dream, Pharaoh's dream, Joseph finally remembered, and the dreams are one. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
O Lord, open my lips.
reading from Jude. Now I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it, that Jesus, who saved a people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in the eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the day of the great day, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise indulge in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desire, serve as an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire. Yet, in like manner, these people also, relying on their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones. But when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these people blaspheme all that they do not understand, and they are destroyed by all that they, like unreasoning animals, understand instinctively. Woe to them, for they walked in the way of Cain and abandoned themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error, and perished in Korah's rebellion. These are hidden reefs at your love feast, as they feast with you without fear, shepherds feeding themselves, waterless clouds swept along by winds, fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead, uprooted, wild waves of the sea, casting up the foam of their own shame, wandering stars for whom the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever. It was also about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, malcontents, following their own sinful desires. They are loud-mouthed boasters, showing favoritism to gain advantage. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, 'In the last time there will be scoffers, following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in the most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life.'" O Lord, have mercy on us. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, have mercy on your house, and the place where your glory dwells.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jude begins his letter like this: although I was eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith. These aren't necessarily two different things, however. The salvation in which we believe in all together and fellowship around is the faith for which we contend and keep and hold. But why would Jude ask this question or say this statement? Contend for the faith. Because in these gray and latter days, there will be false teachers in the church who will lead us away from Jesus Christ, the giver of life and salvation. St. Jude writes to the church, in the last time there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions, for certain people have crept in unnoticed, ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God. These are not ridiculers or haters of Christianity outside of the church he's talking about. These are those who creep into the church in disguise as pious-looking, yet false teachers. They pervert and change the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. Their passion is to make a name for themselves and to puff themselves up. Some preach a gospel of glory and prosperity, nicely packaging you as your own God. Some pierce the gospel with injections of allowances for this sin or that sin, for this doctrinal deviation or that doctrinal deviation, this interpretation of Scripture or that interpretation of Scripture. St. Jude warns, I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it, that Jesus saved people out of Egypt. But there were those from among them who tempted God's people to worship a golden calf, and Yahweh destroyed them. God created the angels, but there were some from among them who desired their own position and authority, and Yahweh locked them in chains and gloomy darkness. God's people lived in Sodom and Gomorrah, but there were those from among them who indulged in self-justified sexual immorality, and Yahweh punished them with eternal fire. False teachers, false pastors, throughout the Old Testament, right up to our very day and into these last days, creep into the church, relying on their own dreams, defiling the flesh, and rejecting godly authority even within the church. Blaspheming, rejecting and defiling not only Yahweh's prophets and apostles, but the very Son of God and his holy word, so nicely leading God's people away from Christ. Dear brothers in Christ, especially pastoral students, pastors, instructors, I promise you, you and I are and will be tempted to do the very same thing. All for popularity, all for power in the church, all for a book sale, all for ego, all for likes on Instagram, all for a known podcast personality, for reasons we'll justify and defend to the end. To which St. Jude writes, in these last days, I am appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. I am appealing to you to contend for the faith, building yourselves up in your most holy faith in the Son of God, that is, Jesus Christ, who assumed the human nature in the womb of Mary, who is true God and true man, inseparably joined, born, suffered, crucified, died, and buried, to reconcile the Father to us through his holy sacrifice for our sins, who rose on the third day, and who reigns and has dominion over all creatures, over all the world, and over the church, who makes holy those who believe in him through the person and work of the Holy Spirit, who creates and sustains saving faith through the preached word and nourishes us in his blessed sacraments, who defends us from the devil and the power of sin, who is lurking around the corner at all times, who will raise us on the last day and live with him forever, and who freely justifies us, makes satisfactions for our sins, and counted us righteous before God. Contend for this faith, especially in your own preaching and teaching. I am appealing to you to contend for the faith, Jude says, praying in the Holy Spirit. That is, immersed in the Word of God, in the divine service, in daily prayer, in the Christian home. This is the oratio and the meditatio of pastoral and Christian formation, as Luther says, chewing on the Word of God like a cow chews its cud. The Word of God testifies solely of Jesus Christ, in which all Scripture is interpreted, all doctrine is revealed and taught and believed. Contend for this faith. I am appealing to you to contend for the faith, keeping yourselves in the love of God, St. Jude writes. Test the spirits, that you are not swept away from your own inventions and your new discoveries of the word and doctrine that you thought no one had thought of for the last 2,000, 4,000 years. Keeping yourselves in God's love, to keep yourselves in Christ, in his word, and away from false, bending, and deceptive teachers and teachings and your own imaginations. Contend for this faith. I am appealing to you to contend for the faith, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. The church hears her faithful pastors preach the word of God as he feeds his sheep, giving them life and salvation through the preached word. The church hears her pastors preaching Christ, and with all her heart she awakes in him and daily rises from her gloom of sin and death. We are prepared to meet the bridegroom. He is near. We wait and pray for the gracious mercy of Jesus Christ with patience and joy, with suffering and with faith, with hope and expectation. Contend for this faith. Dear men, preparing for the holy ministry, a closing pastoral word from St. Jude, he says this: and having mercy on those who doubt, save yourselves by snatching them out of the fire. To others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. As you stand in your own pulpit and you look out at God's people in your congregation, or you go visit them in the hospital bed, or they are gathered at your church meetings, or they come to you seeking pastoral care, they are all wrestling with doubt and sin and suffering. They are all contending for the faith in these last days. And you are being formed to wield that which has the power to destroy and to save. You have a weapon that you wield that has the power to condemn and to forgive, to punish and to pardon. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. It is that which reveals God's will that all be saved and have eternal life. It is the very Word of God. It is the divine Logos himself. It is Jesus Christ who became flesh to dwell among us, whose power is his cross and his open tomb. Men of God, wield this power with knowledge. Wield this power with humility. Wield this power with godly wisdom. Wield this power with love. And wield this power with a repentant heart. For through you, Yahweh condemns the impenitent and gives hope and comfort and salvation to all who hear and believe his word. And now receive God's blessing from St. Jude himself. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen.
Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. Thank you.
our prayers, we give thanks to God for the birth of a daughter, Esther Marie, to seminarian Luke and Jenny Conkle. O Lord, hear my prayer.
And let my cry come to you.
O Lord, stir up the hearts of your faithful people to welcome and joyfully receive your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, that he may find in us a fit dwelling place, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord and Shepherd, in all the many things that need to be done for your church, grant to those entrusted with special responsibilities zeal and faithfulness to perform their tasks to the upbuilding of your church and the glory of your saving name. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Heavenly Father, you sent your own Son into this world as a child of Mary. We thank you for the life of this child, Esther Marie, entrusted to our care. Bring her to the saving waters of holy baptism and grant her that precious inheritance awaiting her in your eternal kingdom. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.